Blog Talk Radio.
Friday morning for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com. Or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. Welcome, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, this morning we are on the air and we are going to be helping guests. You got it. That's right. We're going to be helping authors today. So if you are an author, if you are a writer, if you want to write, maybe you've never written a book, a manuscript, a poem, a play, but you would like to, maybe that's some deep desire that you had that you never talked about, you never wanted to talk about it. Maybe you were like me. You know, maybe you were like me and you stumbled upon it. You know, there is a social networking site out there called Stumbled Upon, and I just love the name of this particular social media site because it's so true, it's so real. Sometimes when you go through life, you didn't plan the event, you didn't plan the activity, you didn't plan the breakthrough or the success, you just stumbled upon it. So I really, really, really think it's cute, but I definitely want to welcome you to the show this morning. If this is your first time tuning in to the Coach Lalisa Show, well, good morning, and welcome. Well, we are here to give you the best, the absolute best that we've got. So I'm sitting right here, you know, typing into Facebook right now and letting them know that we are on the air. Letting people know today's topic. Now, right now I have to multitask because I have to do this and host the show at the same time, but I have to let them know that, first of all, thank God it's Friday. So I'm going to be talking about today on this show. I'm going to be helping authors. I'm going to talk about habits of successful authors. So for those individuals who want to be an author, this is the absolutely perfect show for you. And if you know anybody that wants to write or wants to be an author, you may want to go and get them and have them tune in to the show. But you can also go back and listen to the archive, which will be ready probably about 15 minutes after the show goes off. You can go back and listen. So today we're helping authors, and we're talking today about habits of successful authors. So I welcome you to the show today. I'm not sure who will call in today to the show. We have many authors that can call in and can share even what has been successful to them. But then I'm going to share some habits that others in my research, others have said that these were the habits that they were about. Now, there's a lot of information out there, or if you want to call it research, but there's a lot of information out there that proves habits are very important in our lives. And there are some people who actually believe your habits make who you are. Okay? So the things that you do every day, the things that we call habits, these habits define you. They make you who you are. Now, some of you probably remember a man by the name of Stephen Covey. He came out with a book probably about 12 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe a little longer, 15 years ago. He came out with a book that became very, very, very popular. And the title of his book was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And almost every company in the United States and around the world bought the book, adopted the concept, had their staff, all their leaders, managers and leaders and supervisors read the book. They began to have, the companies with a lot of money would bring Dr. Stephen Covey into their facility to teach these 7 habits of highly successful people. And good morning to our guests in the chat room. We're talking this morning to authors and writers and would-be authors and writers about the habits that make you successful. No doubt, if you're like me, you did not get into this business to be non-successful. You got here because you want to be a success. You want to make a success out of what you're doing. And I really, really, really appreciate all the authors and all the writers who call into the show, and they appreciate what they're getting out of the show. Definitely, if you are a writer, you cannot afford to miss too many shows like this. Before you go too far into your writing career, you want to make sure you're practicing the right things, right? So you want to lay the foundation with the habits that can make you a success. And so you can take people like myself and some other authors that we've had on the show. We've had Mr. Jeffrey McClanahan. He was our first author guest. He was on Monday, and then we followed up with Tuesday. We had Tuesday we didn't have a guest. And then Wednesday, we had Mr. William Frederick Cooper. And then Tuesday, we had both of those authors on. For one was on one day, one was on another day. Oh, yeah, that's right. Wednesday, we had Mr. William Cooper on, but Mr. Jeffrey called back in. And they got to be names for me, y'all. And then Thursday, we also had Mr. William came back on, and he really talked to us about this this life of being an author? What is the life of being an author? You know, the funniest thing about being an author, it's really interesting, I tell you. Being a writer, he explained the difference to us between what is a writer, what is an author. He has a lot of information. You know, he's won awards. He's been, you know, best-selling author on the best-selling list of Essence, and he's traveled around the world, and he's done all kinds of things, book signings out of the country. He's really done some great things. And it's so funny because, you know, when I wrote my first book, God's Plan for My Success, that was my first real book. You know, I wrote a couple of little mini books. Like, I have a book entitled Life's Little Secrets, Life's Little Secrets for Success. And then I have a few spiritual growth journals as well. But I don't talk about those as much. But, you know, anything that you write down, you know, you should talk about, because you never know where it's going to end up. So I have, a couple of little books like that, and then I have some other books that I'm working on. And it's just amazing to me because I think about my life and I go back to, when I go back in my memory all the way back to high school, and I think about how I got in trouble and how I end up, you know, getting into a lot of trouble. You know, it started out a little trouble, and then it got into a lot of trouble. And I can't help but to wonder, you know, if I had started writing when I was seven, when I first started getting into trouble in school, you know, I wonder if someone had, you know, encouraged me or forced me to write, I wonder if that would have changed my life. Now, of course, I wouldn't have the experiences that I have today, which I could steal a line from the Five Heartbeats when Robert Townsend, when they were getting that one major award where they were all breaking up as the group, and when he decided to leave the group, and he's had that line where he said that someone told him once that, Robert, you're going to become a great writer one day when you experience more, or something like that, or when you experience more pain, he said. Now I'm going to have to watch the movie again so I can just make sure I got that part right, because, you know, maybe you know, the pain that I went through, the tragedies and the trials and tribulations that I went through are the reasons that I am able to write now. But again, as a child, I just think that if you have a child that is rambunctious, and if that child is just all over the place like I was, you know, try to encourage that. You know, certainly you don't want to block their future blessings and their future testimonies, of course, but, you know, maybe get them to write. Sit them down, force them to write if you have to. Teach them to write. Send them to a writing class. But, you know, we have so many tools today that my mother didn't have back in those days. And so I just can't help but to wonder that. But anyway, by the way, if you just tuned in, you tuned in to the Coach Lalisa Show. And we're talking this morning to authors and writers. We want to help you writers. So welcome, welcome, welcome. If you would like to make a comment or add to the conversation, please just hit your number one key if you're on the phone lines, and I will know that you're ready, because I don't want to, you know, pick up anyone's phone and, you know, they could be in the background washing dishes, or you could be almost anywhere, because, you know, internet radio is very mobile. You can be anywhere doing anything and listen to the show, so we really do appreciate and welcome you to the show. If you're in the chat room, you just need to type into the chat room any question or comment that you have. And if you would like to call in, you would just dial. If you're listening but you haven't dialed in yet, you can do so by calling 347-945-7991. Now, talking about habits of successful authors, what are these habits? What is it that an author can do to be successful and even highly successful? So according to Suzanne Harrison, and I tend to agree with, you know, what she's saying here. But according to Suzanne Harrison, we want to give her credit for these. She calls these habits highly successful. So not just successful, but highly successful. And, you know, there, I notice when I go to various author symposiums that, you know, especially authors that write novels and that they're trying to get their books published for them through major publishing houses, where you get the advanced royalties and all of that, those author advances, they say, you know, a lot of times they get a lot of rejection letters, and I've heard, you know, stories about that. There was a symposium in New York City, and a friend of mine, she was supposed to be the MC for this event. So she called Dr. Cindy Hunter. She's the author of A Diary of a Crack Addict's Wife. So she contacted me and asked, and she wasn't able to make it because she lives in North Carolina. She wasn't able to make it to the symposium. And it was over in New York. It was at the Schomburg Theater, Museum over in Harlem. And so she contacted me and asked if I could go and be the MC in her place. So she had told the organizers of this symposium that, you know, she had someone that she felt really bad that she couldn't make it, but she had someone that she could fill in. Now, I had met Dr. Hunter probably a few years prior to that online. I met her through one of those internet social networking sites, but we had met and made friends, and the person that she was referring me to, I had never met this person, but, you know, we talked over the phone. She gave me the lady's number, or the lady called me, or what have you. We talked, and the woman was, like, comfortable that I could, you know, do the job of being the MC. So here I am, this author, and you can go to my website and see the kind of books that I write, and here I am on Blog Talk Radio. Most of you, you know, listen to the show. It's a true story here. So I've written my book, you know, God's Plan for My Success, Release Your Power. And, you know, so this lady asked me to be the MC at her event. Now, the woman's name is, I can't think of her name right now for the sake of me, but Renee Flagler. So Renee Flagler, here she is, you know, a big-time author, and, you know, she's traveled all over the country with her book promotions and book signings, you know, just an awesome, fabulous author, right? As a matter of fact, her keynote speaker was Karen Quinones. If you know the author, she's the author of Satin Dolls and many other books, right? But anyway, so here I am. I go over to New York. I drive over, you know, by myself. I find my way over. It's early in the morning, so I didn't really have to worry about traffic. I make it over to the Schomburg Theater Museum over in Harlem. And I go inside, and authors are gathering. They had probably, oh my gosh, maybe like 7 or 8, I don't know, maybe more authors that were there. I know there was an author there, Relentless. I can't think of his real name, but that's his author name. And, you know, this is a guy who had written like 9 books while he was in prison, or more, 9 or more. He was there. And I really wish I had a list of all of the authors, but the story just came to me as I'm doing the show today. When we talk about habits of successful authors. And Karen Quinones, she was the keynote speaker. So she was, you know, not there yet, but they had about maybe 4 or 5 or so. I'm not sure exact number, but they had some literary agents there, and they were sitting there. A couple of them got up to speak and to talk about, you know, how to get your, you know, how to get with an agent, how to get with a literary agent. So here's little old me, you know, here I am in this room full of, you know, published authors. Some had published with companies like Simon & Schuster, Doubleday, you know, different ones, Hay House, all different kinds of publishers. And some had done that and then were self-published now for whatever reason. So we're in, and I'm telling you, here I am, again, little old me, in this, you know, museum in New York, okay, with all these great authors and writers and literary agents. And I'm the MC of the event, so I get to talk to everybody. So, you know, God will put you in places, I'm telling you. Incredible. This was about, oh, probably, it had to be after 2004 when I wrote my books. It probably was around 2007-ish. I would have to look it up, but 278 somewhere in their neighborhood. And there were some radio personalities there because, of course, wherever there's authors and writers, you're going to have radio people there. There were, radio people there, and there's all kinds of people were in this room, right? It was awesome, awesome, awesome event. And also, would-be writers. There were would-be authors that were also there, writers, authors, publishers. It was an awesome, awesome, awesome networking time for me. But again, I was working. I wasn't just there to talk with authors and meet them because I had to do my job, which was to be the MC. But it was, wow, what a pleasure, what a pleasure, what a joy that was to do that. So that was a few years back. And then, and Karen Quinones, wow, her story, oh my God. She had me mesmerized. Wow, every time I think about that, awesome, awesome. And her book, and she had us, laughing, talking about how she, grew up in Harlem, and well, at least in the story, I think the story is loosely based on her life, but Satin Dolls, and she talked about, her life as a child, and, being loving to, read and all that good stuff. And then how she, became a journalist and ended up moving to Philadelphia and, worked for these different newspapers and what have you, and all the things she experienced, and then when she wrote her book. And then she also told us about how she sold, I believe, somewhere in the number of like 80,000 books in the matter of months. And she, of course, she told us detail by detail of how she did that. And of course, I'm, taking notes and filing them in the back of my head if I ever decide to do that. But it was incredible how her and her daughter were in an apartment and how they slept, barely slept, because they were up making these flyers, making these 80,000 flyers, and how they went out and just, put them in, put them everywhere. So she has some really creative places to put them. But I want to get on to the habits, so I want to go every detail of her story. But then she talked about when these books got delivered, to her apartment upstairs, and how she had to get family and friends to come over and load these thousands and thousands and thousands of copies of the book. So, it was a lot of fun. I was so, so thankful to be there and, listening to Mr. Relentless, to his story about how he came out of prison and pounded the pavement and, stopped at every little book stand outside, those outside book stands in New York, and, got them to sell his books. And look at him today. You can go online and find him just doing incredible things. So, people like that. And then on Saturday, this past Saturday, it was like deja vu for me. Deja vu. I'm in the same scenario. I'm in this room with all these authors. Okay, and you got, Mr. Jeffrey McClanahan and with his book, Wait Until the Sun Comes Up, the Sun to Rise, and you got Mr. Darren. You got Mr. Darren with his book, What Color is Hate? You got Mr. Elijah with his books of poetry, and Mr. Tobias, and, he's a self-published author. He's got a publishing company, Mr. Terry Benjamin, and his book. It's about dancing, so I got to get the title of it. But I have it upstairs, actually. I could probably run and get it. And, we have a big virtual studio here. I could run upstairs and get his book, Mr. Terry Benjamin. Awesome, awesome, awesome author, writer, teacher. My goodness, he's definitely doing a big things. And professor, and husband, and father, and brother. I mean, he's got a lot. If you ever want to do a study on a man that's doing a lot of powerful things, you need to contact Mr. Terry Benjamin, professor, father, husband, brother, teacher, author, publisher, writer, friend, hello. He will listen to your problems, and he will give you solutions. I mean, he's got it going on for real. But anyway, I just really respect him for the things that he's done over his life. Just great, 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 great things, right? Now, also Mr. William Frederick, okay, Cooper with his book, Six Days in January. January, his new book that's out, just came out this year, okay, 30 Days in Pinstripes. I mean, you got to go and get these people's books. You got. So here I am. Now, I saved the best for last. The woman, the lady, the other lady author that was there besides myself, Miss Janet White, and I can't wait to bring her on the air. We were the two women of the on the panel. So here I am, so many years later from being over there with Diane Flagler and her, and being over there with her symposium where I'm the MC. And here, you know, by mistake, okay, someone could make it, so I filled in. Sometimes you got to be flexible in life, not just in being an author, but in life also. But here I am, so many years later, I'm not the MC, but I'm on the panel, okay? So, you know, I tell you, you got to do this, okay? So, number one, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? First, you're going to write. These are some habits, and these are coming from Ms. Suzanne Harrison, all right? So she's talked to a lot of successful authors. She's studied a lot of successful authors. Like myself, she's met a lot of successful authors. And one of the things that she wanted to do is really contribute to the success of authors. So here you go. Number one, you want to be able to write about something you care about, especially if you want to be successful. You know, write about something you care about. If you look at any writer today, if you look at whether it's, I tend to read a lot of corporate self-help type books like the Stephen Covey type books or John C. Maxwell's books on leadership. But if you dare to want to write, please write about something that you care about. You know, even if it's fiction or nonfiction, you know, we were talking about the street lit authors. And, you know, or you know, you have authors who write about a more racy, sensational kind of things. Write about something you care about. And like Mr. William was saying, in your writing, you know, raise consciousness by showing what a person is feeling after they do what they do. Show their thinking, show their guilt, show their condemnation, show their conflict, show their convictions after they do what they do. So write about something you care about. If you care about food, if you care about people being healthy, you can write about that. You know, after I wrote my book, it encouraged a lot of people to write. Trust me. And, you know, you can see why. My background. I guess a person can take one look at me or sit and listen to me and say, well, if she can write, I sure can write, you know. But, you know, I wrote the book, and there are individuals that have been wanting to write since they were, like, you know, born, and then they never did for whatever reason. But they said, oh, wow, okay, Lisa wrote a book. I know it's time for me to get cracking. But I wrote my book, and my uncle, who's been writing for years, I wrote my book, and, you know, he bought copies. He had me come to his church, and many of his congregants bought copies. And I guess he was like, well, you know what? If she can write a book based on her story, the fact that she was a high school dropout, didn't like to read or write, didn't even like going to school, she could write a book. And we all bought it and actually read it, and it wasn't that bad. What are we waiting on? So that's my biggest contribution to the literary world. Is to go and get other people. He wrote not only one book, but he wrote, since then, he's written like 13 or 14 books, including a cookbook. That's his latest book. But that's Bishop Henry Cobb. You can go to his website. All of his books are right there. Another young lady, Miss Kelly. Again, this is somebody who's been writing poetry probably since she was in high school, grade school, who knows. She's a writer. She told me she was a writer, but they never published a book. She came to one of my book publishing seminars. Now she has like three or four books, at least written and or published. I think about another woman who is a lawyer. Now, you know, she's written briefs that are over 100 pages, over 200 pages probably. She's been a lawyer for a long, long, long time. She's a preacher and teacher and all kinds of things, but she never published a book. She, again, she heard my story. She talked to me, and I know her, you know, from some other places. And she said, I want to write a book. How do I do it, LaLisa? And I showed her. So, of course, I'm feeling now pretty honored to help these individuals with such, in my opinion, you know, great backgrounds. So, you know, don't ever sell yourself short. You know, you never know what God has kept you alive for, what purpose you will serve. You never, ever know. So anyway, back to writing. So I mentioned those people because each of those people wrote about something that they cared about. Kelly cares about helping the lost get saved, and she cares about that. So that's what she writes about. You know, my uncle cares about people's souls. He cares about the congregants. He cares about their lives. And so he's written books to help them in their lives. Also, the lawyer that I'm talking about, she, you know, wrote a book and dedicated it to her church. I mean, just amazing, amazing people that I met. I mean, there are so many other people I could tell you about, but I won't because we don't have time. So let me move on. So please, please, I can't urge you enough to please write about something that you care about. Don't just write to try to make money. Forget that. Because you may not make a lot of money because your passion and your heart will not be in your writing. And whoever reads it, you know, people are not going to really get it, okay? You're not going to get it. So whatever you do, whether you hire a ghostwriter or not, you know, it doesn't matter. But if you start with writing something you care about, you will probably write a lot faster and get it done, right? Also, successful authors, they always have some kind of emotional connection to what's in their story. Some type of emotional connection is there. If you're writing fiction, then write from a place of emotional, you know, familiarity, right? If you're familiar with a child that is rejected at home, if you're familiar with that and you write a fictional story about that, fine. If you're familiar with being afraid of the dark, you know, when you were a kid, write a scary book, I don't know, a scary story. But your genuine experience, she says, will come through in your writing, and your readers will connect with that, okay? So readers connect with what is real. It's much like in the speaking field. As a public speaker, I know we're always thinking about, how do I connect with the audience? So it's somewhat similar. Now, if you are going to write a nonfiction book, then you try to choose a topic that you're passionate or enthusiastic about. All right? So, you know, you're going to invest a lot of time in writing, so you don't want to put it down and not come back to it. So, you know, you want to be able to be enthusiastic and passionate, okay? Now, the next thing you want to do is you want to, and these are her seven steps to be a highly successful author. Number two, you've got to take risk. Can't say that enough. You've got to take risk. You know, don't be afraid to put your head or your hands on the chopping block when you're right. You know, in the world of fiction, she says you will have, you know, a lot of, you know, you got to create characters that are larger than life. So, you know, it just means that you got to go, she says, above and beyond and take risk, all right? Make your characters, you know, start out as large as you can because you can always make them smaller if you need to as you go along. But, you know, make the decisions to take that risk. She says, after all, it's not about what we would do, all right, by the restrictions of, you know, polite behavior. It's what we would do in our wildest imaginations that make our readers sit up and take notice. So when you're writing, you might have to transition yourself a little bit and don't just think about, well, this is what, you know, this is what I would do if I was in this situation. Well, try to make it a little bolder than that. Make it a little bit louder than that. Don't just think about what you would do, okay? Also, think about what the character would do. You know, that's why it's a character. And, I mean, some of these things I'm learning, you know, for myself as when I finally decided that I was going to challenge myself and write a novel, I said, okay, what do I need to do? What's the first thing you need to do? Besides coming up with a plot and storyline and things of that nature, you have to have characters. And so that the word itself is a character. So you know how people say to some people sometimes, boy, you're a real character, you know. What do they mean by that? They mean that this person is kind of far out, way out. This person has done something over the top. So think about that when you're writing your book. You think about the characters. You know, you think about, let's look at plays like, you know, movies and plays by Tyler Perry. Think about the character Medea. What a character. Oh, my God. That man's imagination must be, like, you know, on steroids. For him to imagine a character like Medea. But many people, you know, can watch Medea and identify with that and think, oh, my grandmother would have said that. Or my Aunt Sue would have said that. Or, you know, maybe even Uncle Bill would have said it. And because, after all, he is a man. But the character, let your mind go. Relax. Whatever it takes. I really, really believe God has jokes, okay? I really believe God definitely has a sense of humor. There is nobody that can tell me otherwise. I'm sorry. The Pope himself cannot call me up and convince me that God does not have a sense of humor. Because, you know, all you have to do is listen to the show. Today, yesterday, or any day this week, and listen to the caliber of authors that I've recently met and that have come onto the show thus far, and the ones I just told you about. Here I'm emceeing a symposium where Renee Flagler, did I call her before Diane? No, I'm sorry, Renee Flagler. If you go online and look her up, you're like, who? Renee Flagler. And it just came to me that quick. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So Renee Flagler, I want to get her name right, so correction. She's the one who put on the symposium in New York at the Schoenberg Museum. And here I am. I'm the MC with Karen Canonis. Hello. You know, Karen Canonis, you know, Miller or something like that. I'm like, hello, you were a nobody, basically a high school dropout. You were in jail, but not in prison, but in jail, and you have dropped out of high school. You flunked out of school. You didn't even like reading or writing, but yet you are emceeing a, you know, literary event where there are actual literary agents there, not wannabes. These were professional people who had worked for major publishing houses. They all have clients, and indeed, they were there telling their stories and giving people tips and stuff. And then this past Saturday, here I am with these authors in Rahway, New Jersey, at the Rahway Public Library. That's so funny to me because, you know, I remember my mother couldn't get me to go to the library. So if she told us to go, I was finding a way to do something else. But to be doing this today is the humorous part for me, from God. It's like, okay, like God knew all along, okay, where I was going to end up. And so that's why I can emphatically stand before people, and it doesn't matter where they are right now. It doesn't matter to me where they've been. I can emphatically say to them, you have no idea where you can end up at. You don't even have a clue, because I know I didn't. So anyway, here we go. All right, so what are you going to do? You're going to write about something that you absolutely love. And I totally agree with Suzanne on this one, Ms. Suzanne Harrison. And you're going to take a risk. Now, here's number three, that a lot of people miss this, all right? You're going to plan. You've got to plan, all right? You got to make a plan. Definitely. I definitely totally agree. She says that. It is definitely the most ignored. Did you hear that? The most ignored. This is true in a lot of settings. in the business world. A lot of people start businesses, believe it or not, without writing a business plan. Right, we know that's corporate suicide, but people do it. She says that it is definitely the most ignored, but equally the most important phase of the writing process. And I agree. Sit down and make a plan. If you don't know how to sit down and make a plan for your writing, please contact me. I also do writing author coaching now, so I coach anyway, but I will coach. I've been coaching writers and authors for probably since 2005. I wrote my book in 2004. I self-published. I never went the traditional route of trying to get a publisher, not once, because I didn't know anything about it. When I got into the writing industry, I didn't know anything about it. All I knew was that I was going to a conference in Cleveland, Ohio. A woman asked me to come and speak. She shared with me that on the ticket speaking, there were two other speakers. One is a woman that she's on Facebook all the time. She's done many seminars with Zig Ziglar and the authors of, you know, Chicken Soup for the Soul. She's a very, very dynamic woman, Miss Dolores Presley. Some of you may know her from Facebook. She makes posts and things of those natures. Well, this woman wrote a book called Cleaning Out the Closets of Your Life. And she was one of the speakers. I was one of the speakers. And Miss Karen Taylor. Karen Taylor, I don't know where she is today, but at that time, she had recently been one of the speakers with Bishop T.D. Jakes, and she was a part of his, I forget the name of the show he used to have that came on. It was like a round table. Him and some other preachers would do this round table discussion. And she had several books, Christian books, Karen Taylor. And she was the main speaker. She was the keynote speaker. Again, Karen Taylor with Bishop T.D. Jakes, Dolores Presley, who had already been on the Oprah Winfrey, had been featured on the Oprah Winfrey show for what she had done in Chicago. I don't know if she's from Chicago, Cleveland, but her. And she had this book, and she, like I said, she had a big company called Born Great or something like that. Born to be Great or Born Successful or something. And I'm, you know, those two ladies and little old me that met a woman in an elevator in New York got invited to come and speak at that event. So meanwhile, the lady is preparing for her event and she's planning and she calls me up and she's prepping me. There's going to be a photo shoot and I have the other authors, these other speakers are authors. I have tables set up for them. She said to me, this was around November of 2003. She said to me, do you want a table for your books? And I went, what books? You know what I'm saying to myself? I didn't say this to her. I was like, okay, well, I'll get back to you, right? And so she's like, I know you got a book, right? You know, I'm like, okay, I'll get back to you. At that point, I did not have a book. So I hang up with her. I call my sister, Beverly. Some of you know her, Minister Beverly. I call Minister Beverly, and I'm like, okay, this is the deal, Minister Beverly. Remember I told you about the speaking opportunity in Cleveland, Ohio? Yeah, we're excited. You know, Mom is coming. My mother was still alive. My mother passed a year later. She says, oh, yeah, Mom is coming, and, you know, I'm coming, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're excited. And I said, well, guess what? The woman wants my book. And I'm like, but I don't have a book. And she said, my sister said to me, just very calmly, oh, she's a powerful woman, Minister Beverly. She says to me, well, Lisa, now is the time to write your testimony. And I said, huh? She goes, yeah, you've been telling it. She told it more than I did. She said, write it in a book. And then she went like, click up. I'm like, okay. So I called the lady back and said, yeah, put my table in. I'll have my books, okay? And she was like, okay, give us the name of your book and we'll start promoting blah, 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 right? So anyway, and I know I got to finish up this story, but so what happens is I said, okay, I'll write my testimony. I've certainly shared it enough times, so I'll just write it down in a book, right? So I'm trying to think, what am I going to to, how am I going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm working at the college at the time, and I'm in my office struggling with how I'm going to get this done. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't write a book. I can't write a book, right? And so I start trying to write the book, and somehow I'm coming through the college one day, and I see Terry Benjamin. Hello. I see Terry Benjamin, because he also works at the college by this time. He's down at Essex County College. So I see him right by my office. He's walking right past my office. I'm telling you, nothing just happens. I walk out of my office, and boom, there's Terry Benjamin. And I was like, oh, hey, how you doing, you know, Terry, and what's going on, and blah, blah, blah. I haven't seen you in a minute, whatever, whatever. And I say, oh, yeah, Terry, I'm trying to write this book, and I'm, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm struggling or whatever. And he was like, you know, just do this, 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 and that. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I go back home, and I start writing again. I just can't do it, though, right? So I stop. I was like, I can't do this. I call my sister. I'm like, you know what, babe? I'm going to call the woman and tell her I don't have a book. And, you know, I don't have it. Okay, it's no big deal, right? And my sister was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I'm sure, right? And she was like, okay. So we hung up. So that night, you know, I'm tossing and turning, and that next morning, I'm like crying out to God. I'm like, you know, it didn't leave me, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm like, God, I can't do this. I just can't. This was painful. I was actually in pain. And God said, and I heard this in an audible voice. He said, I said, God, I can't write a book. He said, I know you can't, but I can write it through you. And I was like, huh? He said, yeah, I can write it through you. 2 days later was the Super Bowl. I'll never forget it. 2 days later, it had to be around February the 2nd, somewhere around that Super Bowl, right? My husband was having a big Super Bowl party. Now, the speaking engagement was for February 24th. So around February the 2nd, I believe, I started a fast. I did a 21-day fast. I fasted for 21 days the day after the Super Bowl. I'll never forget. Start writing. My pastor at the time, our co-pastor at the time, came to my house for the Super Bowl. And I was sharing with him, well, you know, Pastor Flomo, this woman wants me to come and move to Cleveland, and she wants me to write a book and this and that, and, you know, and I got to go up there and I got to preach, you know. He says, just tell your testimony, Lalisa. Just tell your testimony. So, okay. So that's how the book came about. Long story short, we got the book, God's Plan for My Success. It's basically, and then the subtitle is, a personal testimony about overcoming the enemy's plan to destroy my life. So that's how that book came about. That's how I broke the ground. I don't know how you'll do it, but planning definitely goes into play. So anyway, that's her number three. Number four, because I want to give you all seven before you leave here. Number four, and this is what I had to do, and I did it for 21 days. She says, write every day. And I did that. I wrote every single day for 21 days, and the book was finished. So I wrote the book. I knew I had to be up there on February 24th with my book. She had the table. She had the photo shoot set up for us. 21 days, God gave me the title, God's Plan for My Success, because he said, Lalisa, remember, I did this. It was my plan. And so Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans I think towards you. And then he let me base the book loosely off the scripture, Joshua 1:8. If you meditate on my word day and night, I will give you the gospel of good success. And that's what I did. I meditated day and night. When I was writing the book, I read the Bible every day for 21 days straight. And I read and I wrote with my laptop. My husband can attest to it. I did that for 21 days. And I got up and I went to work. I came home. I still cooked dinner for my husband. But when I was done, I ate nothing but water. That's it. When I got finished, I got my Bible, I got my laptop, and I sat down and I wrote for 21 days. Or should I say, he wrote through me, okay? And he poured it out. And now we're down to the line, down to the wire. It's about to be time to go to Cleveland. So what am I going to do? Yeah, I wrote it down, but what's next? I say, how am I going to get the book edited? I'm not an editor. I'm barely a writer. I'm not even a writer. God, you wrote it, but are you going to edit it too? was too funny. And I called my sister, Beverly, what do I do next? I'm telling you, ain't nothing like a sister. That's why we love all these organizations, Sisters Keepers, Sister to Sister. Listen, we need our sisters. Sisters, we love you. And by the way, so my sister says, her daughter, my niece, which we all know, been reading and writing since she was like a baby, she says, she can edit the book for you. My sister at the time was working for American Airlines with her buddy pass. She flew my niece to New Jersey. My niece stayed with me for 2 days, and she edited that book cover to cover. I said, God, you're amazing. You're awesome. We paid my sister, my niece, and she flew back to wherever she came from. I don't know where she came. My niece was grown at the time, Nicole Carter. And by the way, if you need an editor, she's awesome, 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 awesome. She's a real editor. She can move your stuff around, put it in the right place, and do all that stuff. So my niece went back to wherever. And so here we are, just a couple days left. I'm like, okay, I edited. Now, how am I going to get it printed? The only thing I knew about a printer, well, I had heard about Morrison Printer, some company, Morris Publishing. Years ago, my sister Holly had told me about them. But I already knew that takes like months to get something printed through them. I got to get this thing printed in like a day. So here I am. It's like 2 or 3 days before it was time to go to Cleveland. What do? Long story short, I go to, I meet this lady. I meet this woman. And I'm like, I can't tell you the story because I don't have enough time, but I'll tell you the story another day. Nonetheless, she tells me about how to get my book published, and she introduces me to a company called Instant Publisher. But I don't have time because they take at least, at that time, they were like at least 2 days. If you were a new author connecting with them, it was like at least 10 days. So I couldn't do that. So what do? The only other way I knew to get something printed was to go to the office store, like Office Max or Staples. So what do? I jump in my car. I fly down to Kinko's. There was a Kinko's on down the street from my house. I fly down to Kinko's. I go in there. It's late at night, and I'm, like, stressed. I'm like, mister, can you please, I need copies of this book. What is it going to cost? I took it in there to him. I had printed it out. I had used Publisher to type it, so I printed it out in, like, a book format. I take up this 120-page book. I go up to Kinko's, and he says, I did the cover myself. He says, no graphic artists or none of that good stuff. I did the cover. I took a picture, boom, put my name, put some words, and I was good to go. I go up there, and he says, yeah, it's going to cost you $10 or so, whatever, because all they could do was put, like, a spiral. They don't do perfect binding and all that kind of stuff. So they could put a spiral, and that was costly. So he says, it's going to cost you, like, $10 or so. I was like, oh, man, I don't have that kind of money. So I says, okay, I want 10 copies. I'll just get 10 copies. You know, I'm thinking, well, her event's not going to be that big. There'll just be maybe 30, 40 women there. I'll be good, right? So I order 10 copies. I go back the next morning to get my book because he said it was going to take a minute. I go back the next morning. Now, we're leaving the next day, and I got to go back in the morning to get that book because we're leaving, like, that evening to drive to Cleveland. It's Friday. And the conference is on Saturday morning. So I go up there in the morning. I'm praying that God was able to do it. I walk in, and he says, you know what, ma'am? I got to tell you something. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what happened? He brought the books over. He said, I read that book. He said, no, he said, I read most of it. He says, your testimony is awesome. He says, I told my manager about it, and my manager told me to make you extra copies. So he made me 25 books, and I had only paid for 10. He said, and she told me to give you a 20% discount. Now, you know I could have passed out right there on the floor, right? Hello? When does this happen? And I was like, I was just numb. I just was numb. I mean, this man doesn't even know me. He just works at the Kinko's. And so I just thank God. I just thank God. I just thank God. I scooped up the books, and I'm trembling, and I'm like, God, you got to be kidding me. And so I go out now with my 25, or it might have been a few. Maybe it was like 32 or something like that. So now I'm thinking, oh, wow, I'll have a book for almost every woman there. So I get my books, and I go home. I share my story, of course, and all of that. get up to Cleveland with my books. Now I'm excited. I don't have a poster. I don't have a postcard. I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing but my books. That's it. You know, I don't have those nice palm cards or those bookmarks that you get from publishers. None of that. None of that. All I have is my 25 to 30 books printed by Kinko's. As a matter of fact, the lady who held the event says she still has that original copy. And here I go, these authors, they got their posters, their banners, their tables are like, got all this good stuff. I have nothing but this, a blank little table and my few little books, right? And we get up there and I'm speaking on the panel with these powerful women. So I'm thinking, a little 30, 40 people, but I didn't know those women. I didn't even know who her other speakers were. I get there. The event gets underway. It's a prayer breakfast. Before I know it, there's close to 1,000 women in the room. 1,000. Not 100. Not 500. Close to 1,000. So, of course, I'm overwhelmed. But I preach my sermon. We come outside, and they come over to purchase the book. I mean, of course, I sold out, so I can always say my first opportunity out there, my book was a sellout. I guess you could say I was the bestseller that day. I sold all my books. I don't know if they sold all theirs because they had boxes and boxes of books. Boy, if I had known, I would have had it. I could have had 1,000 books. I would have sold probably 700 at least. But that was my first experience. So anyway, I'm here to tell you, keep writing and write every day. You got to write every day. Now, number 5, be prepared to work hard. You know, she said that she had read once that John Gershom had worked for 4 hours per day and made $20 million per year. Now, whether that is true or not, about the hours worked or the money he makes, it doesn't matter. It is far more common to hear tales today of the world's most popular commercial authors working their proverbial butts off to keep up with deadlines and things of that nature. So you can do it. Just work hard. You know, don't get it twisted. Successful authors have to work hard, period. You do. Problems will come up. Families, you still have a family, you still have a life. Don't give up for nobody. So be prepared to work hard. Number 6, you got to be persistent. Okay? Things will happen. Things will happen. Just keep going. Don't give up for anybody. Whatever rejection comes your way, whatever person turns you down, turns your back on you, don't worry about it. You one day you're going to meet somebody like, you know, William Frederick Cooper. Someday you're going to meet, you know, Karen Canonis Miller. One day you're going to get to meet Dolores Presley. You know, don't give up for anyone. Stick to it. I'm here to tell you, I never thought I was going to write a book. I never thought I was going to write 3-4 books. I never thought I was going to be able to even wrap my mind about how to do a novel. But now that I've connected with these individuals, I feel very, very comfortable that I'm going to finish my novel. You know, I believe that I'm going to get it done right. Okay, so I hope that this has helped you. I hope that you realize that you realize how to get this done, that you can become the writer that you desire. But if you follow these 7 habits, and the last one, the last habit, after you work hard, after you've made that plan, after you've written every day, after you've taken the risk, after you come up, you know, you've come up with a write about something that you really want to write about, after you do all of that, and now you're going to not let go. You know, you're going to not let go. You're going to not let go of your writing, but you're going to be persistent, right? That's what not letting go is, being persistent. Don't let go. All right? Be persistent. But then, finally, number 7, you have to let it go. Okay? If you've done the best you've done, you know, I see so many people. It takes them 10, 15, 20 years. And why? Because they're stuck on thinking that they have to, for the first time, they have to write that great American novel. I'm sure Maya Angelou, on her first book, I'm sure it wasn't her best work. If it was, you probably would have never heard of it because it would have taken her forever to try to be perfect. Don't try to be perfect. Just try to be the best you can be. Let God take care of the perfection. If you've done the best you can do, let it go. It's, you know, and I'm going to tell you what helps me with that, because I struggle with that. I understand your pain. But there's a man named Dennis, I don't know why I can't remember everybody's last name, but he is a preacher, and he used to come on television, and I used to watch him. And one day he was talking about writing, and he said, he was talking about doing what God told you to do. And he said, if God told you to write a book, just write it. And you know that touched me right there, because God told me, I'm going to write this book through you. He said, don't worry about if it's any good or not. Now, this is Dennis talking. Oh, I can't think of his name right now. He said his first 10 books weren't any good, you know, but he kept writing. He kept writing, so they got better over time. But don't give up. But then you got to let go. Let it go. Understand it. It's okay. You know, and you'll be well on your way to finishing that book if you follow these 7 habits and others. So number one, you got to write about things you care about. Take those risks. Plan. Write every day. Be prepared to work hard. Be persistent. And let it go. And so at that point, we've got to go, and I know you've got to go too. You've got to get on to work and got to get on to the things that you're doing. It's been my sheer ultimate pleasure to have been here with you. And as I always like to remind our listeners, you're powerful. And don't forget, Saturday, if you're in the Elizabeth area, we're going to be preaching at the New Creation Christian Ministries. We're going to be preaching over there, so if you can come out, starting tonight, it's a 3-day conference, so if you can come out, we appreciate that. I will be the speaker tomorrow night at 5. Next weekend, we have our Small Business Women's Expo and Conference right here in Newark at the Courtyard Marriott. Please, you can get information from me. Please come. We want you there. Please come out to support small business women. That's October the 14th and the 15th. I'll be talking and mentioning it all next week as well. I think we still may have a vendor table or two, so please call me. Area code 908-432-1853 if you would like to reserve it. Or you can connect with me on Facebook. So that's coming up October 14th and 15th. It's a Friday from 6 to 10 and Saturday all day from 9 to 6 p.m. right there at the Courtyard Marriott in Newark, New Jersey on Route 29 South. Vendor tables, I believe there's a few, but just come by to support all of the vendors. I will be there. I will have some of my books there. I will have some CDs there and some other things, and we have all kinds of vendors coming out. You want to come, you want to support. If you want to be a vendor, please, 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 please call me. If you would like to advertise to support what we're doing, small businesses, we need your support. We got to have your support. If you'd like to put an ad in our journal, we have ads starting as low as $25, but you got to get those ads in like yesterday, so please, please, please call me or email me or send me an inbox on Facebook. You can inbox me at, you can email me at info@lelisajwilliams.com. So it's my full name, .com, without any periods or anything. Info, though, you got to put info in the beginning, info@lelisajwilliams.com, or you can go to my website, lelisajwilliams.com, and inbox me or email me from there. Also, get in touch with me right here. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up. Okay, so we'll see you back Monday. Have a powerful, powerful, powerful weekend.